subscribe to Donnie Houston Podcast, man.
Donnie Houston.
Yeah, man, it's going down. It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a special guest, man, today in the house, man. Listen, you've been putting it down, doing this thing. You know what I'm saying? We were just talking off at the boy. Say, man, I should have been here a year ago. But, you know what I mean? I really mess with this dude, man. He got a good spirit. You know what I'm saying? Cool dude, man. Actually, you know, Kiki's the one. Little Kiki is the one who introduced me to him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's on his new album. You know what I mean? You can see him out here hustling, doing his thing with the Crown Series, you know what I mean? He's pushing the prayer mats. You know what I'm saying? He's got a whole lot going on, man, representing East Texas, man. LD300, what's going
down? Man, we finally here, man. What's going down, man?
What's the deal? So go on, you can tell me how you feel, man. You
know, man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. It's just, I ain't gonna lie, man. This shit was some bucket list shit, you know what I'm saying? I really did feel like I was supposed to be here a year ago. But everything's supposed to happen in the time that it's supposed to happen. But I very appreciative. You done grew in that time. And sometimes, you know, when you have your mind made up to do something and it's in the making, you know what I'm saying? Organically in the making. So, excuse me, just in the time since I first started watching your podcast, it's done took off to another level. So, you know, I'm very appreciative to be able to come here and in all your glory. You in all your glory right now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm to the point now, I'm happy I get to slide up here and see you in your new digs and shit, you know, because I've been fucking with you since you had the old couch, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, your couch has been stepped up and shit, man, and I'm just real happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? Nah. And it's a win for everybody that's like me, that follow your shit, like, niggas, me being here, this shit is real important, you know what I mean? So, you know, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, nah, for sure, man. What's going down, man? Y'all know you got the Crown Series going right now, got the match going and all that.
Crown Series going crazy, just started streaming digital on February the 4th. For those that haven't been tapped into what I've been doing from the beginning, physical copies and the merch packs and bundles that we've been coming with from the beginning. You gotta understand, I got out of prison March 25th, 2019. And so it's not March 2019 yet, so I mean 2022 yet. So I'm going on 36 months, close to, you know, being free. In that time.
What's the jail talk? Only a nigga in jail to break it down like that. Nigga won't say 3 years, nigga say
36 months. Nah, because it's a, you know what I'm saying?
Nigga be used to counting them days.
I'm used to counting days. Not only that, it's about the amount of work that you are doing inside of these cycles of these months. Hmm. Versus, like, if I tell you that I had put out, or I have 14 out, how many albums? If I say I had 13 albums that I put out in these 3 years, for me, it's better to say I have 13 albums released in these 36 months. Because that seems like a bigger amount of time than 3 years. 3 years is damn near like, you know, okay, you've been out 3 years and you got 13 albums. It kind of sound right. Versus 36 months, you can kind of see the breakdown of it. You know what I mean? So, and everything was direct to consumer. People hit me, DMing me for all of the bundles that we put together for those albums. And I wasn't on digital for a long time, like until right now. But, you know, people definitely, Kiki just was one of them ones. Like, man, you in this game, you got to be all in. So, you know, we wanted to make the music available for those that, because, you know, we CDs, flash drives, you know, lighters, t-shirts, box sets. It's funny with this last out, the Crowns 11 and the prayer mat set that came with that. It wasn't that I was making a prayer mat to hustle anybody, you know, like anybody that know me, prayer is essential, man. Like for me, everything that I've been able to accomplish in this relatively short amount of time, to everybody else it's a short amount of time, it's been because of, you know, having that consistent prayer schedule, you know what I'm saying, and just making sure that I prioritize that shit. And by me doing that, that's what's done allow me to have, I feel like, traction in this shit, to be able to survive off rap alone, and all of that. But, you know, now we to a place where we finna get ready. We about to take it up a notch, a serious, crazy notch. So, you know, it's been beautiful. Definitely everything about it has been beautiful. But, you know, there's a lot that I want out of this. A lot. So we just at the beginning phases, really. Like, yeah, for real.
I mean, but you been doing all right, though. I mean, you on Key's new album. You know what I'm saying?
Key, man. Yeah, man, bro. No cap. That's done did something for me, I ain't gonna lie. You know, he done put me on no cap. It's done kind of took me to a new little, you know, they say yesterday's price, you know, not today's price, you know. So that's.
Which is a hell of an album to be on, you know what I'm saying? He got a great album out right now.
Tell me what you think about his album.
I like his album. I called him and told him. I told him, for one, it took me, I would have called him sooner because I had it early. I said, I would have called you sooner, but it took me 2 days to get past the first two songs. You know what I'm saying? I was running them two back. But we even, but the whole thing, man, like, I think for somebody to have, say, their first album came out 25 years ago, because it's a 25-year anniversary, you know what I'm saying, Don't Mess With Texas.
This dude, he don't even, like, he don't.
To say your first album came out 25 years ago, and you can still put out music at that level.
This nigga don't get that.
It's something to be said about that.
He don't get that. He don't get that. Yeah. I promise you he don't. Like, nigga. That's amazing, nigga. Like, that shit is in the streets. Like, people are really gravitating to that. You know what I mean? That shit is a unthinkable thing. And now, you know, he done got to a point to where he's never done nothing else. You know, so he never had a job or no shit. So this shit, just him being able to execute at that level, you know, he gets told that shit, but he don't really live inside of that type of shit. So, and again, for me, somebody like me, I learned a lot from him in the way he responds and moves towards certain shit like that. It's important. Like, he's happy that it's being fucked with, for sure. But when it come down to it, it's like business as usual with him. He like already, he don't enjoy shit. He always on to the next shit, right, for sure.
Yeah, no,
like, he's already thinking about some other shit right now, you know. Yeah. But yeah, he did that. He did that, and I was very grateful that he included me in that shit and took that time to find, like, that one. Like, man, I want you to be on this one. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So, you know, definitely most shout out to my bro, man.
Look, man, how did y'all even? Because, like I said, that's how, you know, this is what you got. For one, I be up early. You know what I'm saying?
You be up early?
I be up early all the time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
What's early for you?
That's how Kiki knew to call me that early. You know what I'm saying? I be up that early. I'm going to be up every day, 5-6 o'clock latest. You know what I'm saying?
I'm up. Okay.
I'm up. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing open, but I'm up. You know what I'm saying? I'm up doing shit. I'm working. I'm doing 6 in the morning. I'm editing videos. I'm doing shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Boys call me. You know what I mean? Hey, man, I got a partner on the phone, man. This is my partner, Al D, man. You know what I mean? He think he like a little Kiki historian.
Yeah, I know a lot about this nigga shit.
He say, man, I'm finna click him in it right now. And boom. You know what I'm saying?
What was we arguing about that day?
What was we talking about? It was about, was it the Freestyle King shit?
I don't know. It was some kind of debate shit.
Some shit. You know what I'm saying? But we going in, it's early in the morning. You know what I mean? It's still dark outside.
For sure.
But, you know, for y'all to even have that type of relationship, man, like, how do you even?
Long story, man. In 2006, I did my first mixtape, 300 Reasons for War. So I had got him, well, actually, shout out JD and Spence and Truck, who, excuse me, they had booked him in East Texas. They had booked him in, you know, in Longview. They had booked him in. When I first met him, he was like on some shit like, man, they tell me like you like Lil Wayne down here type shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we linked up in my crib. We he hosted my mixtape, you know, we knocked the song out, all that shit online and shit. It's crazy that he don't remember that. You know what I'm saying? Nigga do not remember. He don't remember that shit. But from where I'm from, that shit was big. You know, but I got locked up, of course. That shit came out like at the end of 2006, February 5th, 2007. You know, Cold Unit kicked my door in, boom, I'm gone. So I never really got to see the impact of the mix, the album, you know, what it did. But from where I'm from, they telling me that was the, you know, and they still praise it to this day. So I never got a chance to really fuck with that shit like that. And, you know, when I got out, of course, to anybody that, if you rap or you do music, anything that you made 10 years, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to hear that shit. And I don't want to hear that shit. So, then when I got out, of course I did 12 years. So when I got out, and I'm like, all right, I'm finna get on this shit, da 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 da. He was like the first person that I reached out to on some, like, man, this is what I'm finna do, da da da. So I got a verse from him. He did the introduction to my first album, Coming Home, which was the first Crowns, you know. So when the first Crowns dropped, you know, shit started getting a little, you know, for me, you know. Oh, and also, shout out Propane, because Propane was the one that, you know, we did a song together. You know, Propane gave me a lot of game, bro. Like, I always, you know, what I say about Pro that he told me that stuck with me was, like, I definitely used to ask him a lot of questions and shit, and I said, sometimes I think I was trying to figure out how to survive in this game when all of the music is free. So Pro was the one that told me that if I had 100 fans, that I would never, like, if you got 100 fans, you should be able to pay all your bills with 100 fans. And I'm like, damn. You're like, yeah, you got to have some for that 100, you know what I'm saying? And I knew I had more than 100, you know what I'm saying? So I started, like, you know, basically, like, pressing up, getting shit pressed up, you know, like
getting into the merch
and having something for them. I hate that word merch. That word merch is serious, is what it means, but bro, like, you gotta have something for the people. That's what I call it. It's gotta be something tangible that they can have that that matches the experience of what you bring as an artist. Everybody can't have the same shit. So that's the problem. I feel like everybody got a hoodie and a hat and some shit. I got that shit too, but there has to be something unique to what you're doing as an artist that people can. And for me, it was the flash drives. It was those the custom flash drives, and then just different things that I was offering. You know, shout out Mo Bain. He definitely helped me with a lot of you know, brain work about certain a lot of the shit that I was offering, you know what I mean? Just like listening, you would have to know my music well enough to know what makes sense for me and my people as far as merch goes. So, you know, we went that route. Of course, Jono, shout out my boy Jono, he definitely was instrumental in that initial helping me to understand, like, it. As a matter of fact, Jono was the one that told me to start doing boxes. Jono. Real shit. That nigga, he was the one to say, ain't it something? Jono is a mean thinker, bro. Jono was somebody that say, ain't it some kind of way that you can print on them boxes? Ain't it something, like, can't you get, like, boxes and, like, put your CD covers on the outside of them? Ain't it some way to do that? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, huh? I don't know, you know? And then, of course, as I started doing that, but it ended up moving to a point in it where, like, you know, Greg Street, you know, shout out DJ Greg Street. He was the one that told me that you sow in your music, like how you emphasize prayer and all of that. You should do a prayer rug, right? So when he tell me to do the prayer rug, my mom was like, ah, you know, I'm just going to get a prayer rug, basically put my brand on it type shit. Like, and it was like, nah, you should, like, build it from scratch. What? Yeah, you should go source the fabric, you know. Then, like, when I was going through the process of that, like, the fabric trim and badges and all of that type of shit, I was like, yeah, I'm finna take it to this place and get it. He said, "Nah, you should find a seamstress to do it." Everything he was like making it hard and all. I'm like, man, I ain't finna do all that bullshit. But then I did it. You know, I went to my my aunt-in-law first. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, she did the prototype, and then I ended up going to my sister-in-law. She knocked them like really like. So it ended up being like a family thing. That's one thing I tell people about the beauty of being a rapper and like existing in hip hop is that you can literally wake up and be doing anything. This shit is like the most interesting shit. You can, from rapping, now you sourcing fucking fabric. Now, you know, you designing boxes and all of that shit, you know, and just the beauty of that, you know. Like, it's you know, Key say it all the time, 90% of this shit, it don't take place in the booth at all. And I like that. I subscribe to this shit.
Yeah. Man, talk about, because, I mean, you got locked up, but you to say you were Lil Wayne, like, what were you doing prior to going to jail? You know what I'm saying?
Prior to going to jail, man, I was on some real heavy trapping. Just some of this shit is just, I hate hearing rappers talk about that shit, but the reality of it, you know, I was really out there. I really bust my gun. You know, just all the cliche the shit, you know. Rapper shit, yeah. I was doing that shit, like, you know, and I'm from a neighborhood that's known for doing it. So, you know, we was all doing it. Of course, I'm from Davis Street. I'm from 300 Block. I'm from Longview, Texas. It's a well-known thing. I did that shit to the best of my ability, and I never gave a fuck about going to jail behind that shit. Never, you
were
know.
Did you start like young as a kid, or like how did you even like get into all that?
All that shit. Well, I had the typical upbringing. Your father not home, mother on drugs, bouncing around. I lived with everybody. I lived with my grandma. I lived with my for the majority of my time. I mean, of my childhood, I lived with my aunt Sandra. I lived in Long Beach with my Uncle Don in California. And just bouncing around and I lived with my grandma. My grandma had a cafe, juke joint, and I stayed there a lot.
Were you bouncing around because you were like a problem kid, or was it?
Yeah, I was I just think that when you don't have a male in the house with you, and the game, bro, like, just you could get some money in the streets. Not like it's like you as a kid, you could have some money, you know. And I tell like my kids now, like, you know, it's being in the streets now is dumb. When we was in the streets, you the grown-ups was buying work from us, so it was like you was feeling adult, you was serving adults. Now, you know, everybody selling the same shit. You know what I'm saying? And not only is everybody selling the shit, it's not a really big client pool, you know, of like customers. But when I was growing up, the game was on its downside, you know. So we was the game's downside, meaning crack and shit like that, cocaine, you know, it's big shit in the 80s, and then in the 90s, even though the shit was going down, we was kids, so we was able to grab that shit and fucking like really have money and shit as kids. So our experiences are very different, and we view life in a different way. I couldn't really be told what to do at 15 and 16 years old. When I got money, I got more money than my mama. What you hell you gonna
do? So that young, you was out there like that?
Yeah.
Yes. Sir. I mean, I was there.
Of course, you know, you're doing right. You're doing, yes, sir. But, you
know. No, I'm not saying. I'm saying because, I mean, you
15, 16 years old, man. 1990, I started selling work in at 12 years old. By 95, you know, when you 15, 16 years old, man, my mind was like, I thought I was grown. At 16, like at 16 years old, I ain't want to hear what nobody that was grown had to say, really. And but a testament to my mom that I will say that no matter what she was going through, man, she was gonna beat my ass behind that report card. Hmm. I ain't gonna lie to you. Whatever the fuck you was doing, like, you know, you doing what you doing, I'm gonna beat your ass. I'm talking about abuse. It's gonna be abuse behind that report card. So I knew that I was gonna get 6 real terrible ass whoopings a year. I got 6 terrible, and it wasn't for having like bad, like, cause my grades was never really just bad, really. But like, you know, on the occasions when you wasn't up to par, man, like, I'm gonna beat you. You know what I'm saying? That's what you gonna get beat behind, you know. But outside of that, I feel like my childhood was like necessary, like really necessary for, you know, the way I see shit now, you know. And I just, you know, my whole mind frame about a lot of this, about like a lot of street shit was really formulated at that age. So at 17, I caught my first like real case. Did an aggravated robbery type shit. Had a shooting, had a all that shit. The violent shit has always been my Achilles heel. You know, like, hustling is one thing, but like active with pistols is like my fucking, like,
that's your
you know what I'm saying? And I don't say that shit proudly, like, but it's, yeah, you know, yeah. You know, but and when I was 18, I had a 10-year sentence. End up doing 7 years on that. So at the time when I get out,
Wait, so 17, you catch the first case, is aggravated robbery. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that gets you to 7, or you
I get 10 years and do 7.
Yeah, so you're 10 for that one, okay.
Yeah, and do 7.
Yeah.
You get out.
It's at 18.
Yeah.
7 at 18, bam. 7 years later, come out.
7 years later, so come 25. Out, I feel I'm the best rapper. I say, you know, I'm the best. But now, you get out and you rapping, and then it's like, but I'm mostly trap. It's important to say this. I got to always be my, when I get out of jail, when I get out of prison, my neighborhood, they had really got it together. They really was very well organized, you know. And so I was able to take advantage of my position in the neighborhood or whatever. It was already set up. I was able to get in, and you know, it was, they had it running smooth. Gotta give them their car. What would end up happening in 2008, the feds would end up taking everybody. But at that time when I got out, it was like really sweet. Everything was really sweet. And so I do that.
So you come home to, boom, good position in the streets.
I come home to a good position in the streets, and I come home. At that time when I came home, I was in Dallas. So my best friend, Saeed, he was in Dallas, and from the hood and all that. And, you know, we was doing us in Dallas, but the neighborhood was like on fire. So we was able to be here and go to pass, and everything was beautiful. And, you know, it was all gravy, bro. And then he ended up having an old Fed case. This is my best friend. He had an old Fed case, some, you know, that came and got him. So I got out in, I get February 05, and I believe in May, he gets locked up for some old Fed shit. This is my best friend, which was good, actually, because I was able to do for him what he had done for me all the years I've been gone. That's the good thing about us. Anytime, you know, one of us locked up, somebody is at least, I don't have that sad story of, you know, I was in prison and my niggas didn't fuck with me. I don't have that story, you know. So he for sure held me down. Definitely my brother G, he held me down, like, you know. So I can't say, you know, I'm not a sad story in that way. So like I say, he left, and so then I went back home, and you know, we turned up, man, you know, buying cars, you know, you just caught up in it, you know,
lifestyle,
Monte Carlo, 24s, Chrysler 3, you know, just
everything to make the lives come, say what these niggas got going on.
Oh, yeah. And then I wasn't even the worst, you know, just you got to remember, as much as people be doing dumb shit, and the person that's doing it doesn't really understand how dumb it is. So I try to keep that in mind when I'm critiquing somebody, you know. So in February 5th, 2007, Super Bowl Sunday, by 10:30, the drug task force kicked my door in.
You in there with watching Super Bowl, having a party, all that
shit? Super Bowl was actually over. But they kicked my door in, man, and fucking, no knock warrant and all that shit. That no knock warrant shit, you know, for as much as people talk about that shit, like, it's like, you know, we done got used to talking about it, like, no knock warrant, they just kicked the door. Man, that shit scary as fuck. That shit ain't right, man. You could die with that no knock. I actually know somebody that shot a law and got shot by a law on a no knock warrant. That shit is, you know, you already paranoid, you know, you paranoid and all of that shit anyway.
You don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Man, you don't know what the fuck going on. These hoes done kicked the door in and
did you have any inclination at the time? Like, man, they might be on you. Because, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people
be paranoid like that at times. I used to just, every so often, I would get a streak of fucking paranoia. But then I was on tabs too. So, you know what I'm saying? So that shit was like all in the sauce. I used to get, you on tabs, you woo, whatever, you know.
So tabs, what you think? That was your...
Don't say that because it's already a lot of people that feel that way. Like at the time,
yeah, no, at that time,
I used to fuck
cool.
with
yeah,
tabs
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
I've never fucked with no hard drugs. I've had a drink phase. I sold wet. I can't say that I never have tried that, but I will tell you that that has never been no thing of mine. You know, never. I can say that. I've never did any other drug outside of that as far as me ingesting that shit. So in my tab, the first time I took a tab, I take a tab, and of course, like, it was the euphoria of a tab. I thought that shit was dope, but then you start experiencing the downs of it, you know, your next days and all that shit. I had a cycle in my life of fucking with tabs. I didn't stay on the tabs, you know. I didn't know we were going to, you know, but
no, that's cool.
Let the record show I had a cycle.
No, I ain't judging you, bro. The first time I took one, the shit hit, and I was like, yeah, nah, we not doing this no more. You know what I'm saying?
Why didn't you stay down with
it? Because it was too live.
It was too live.
It was too live. And I was like, nah, I like this too much. I'm not going
to. I was fucking depressed. No excuses for doing drugs. Yeah. But I was, at the time, bro, like, I'm having the most money that I never had. And then I'm feeling like, damn, my best friend gone. And, you know, you the music that I'm listening to is planting seeds of, you know, your homie's not happy for it, you know, all that kind of shit. So I believe that thoughts become things. I think that I was helping to bring forth the reality of partners not fucking with me, like, you know what I'm saying? Or not happy for me as everybody got their own shit. Ain't nobody really even thinking about you like that. But I'm thinking that shit, and I think the tabs helped me to deal with that shit at the time. But throughout everything, I was still fucking with music, and I still was able to put an album out. That album really, that, you know, 300 Reasons for War, I will say, my first mixtape, if you can get past the sound, the dated sound of, because it sound dated to me, but if you listen to that shit, that's the way I felt. All that shit, like everything I said in that shit, that's the way I felt. I felt fucked up. I felt real fucked up at the time. And probably the best thing that had happened to me was Kiki blessing that shit. You know what I'm saying? So to get out, to, you know, reconnect with him, to shoot my first video here in Houston, in Sunnyside at King Stowe with Alvo, my nigga Alvo, and everybody from Mob World, and just them guys, you know what I'm saying? And to reconnect with people. Another very important thing is that in prison, which was very important to my development, I ended up meeting a lot of the people that would become my brothers. So to this day, I'm around people that I did time with. They fucking like my brothers. They a part of, they know everything about me. I know everything about them. I trust them. You know, I trust them. They brothers to me, you know, and I keep them around right now with Buster with me, you know. Somebody's around me I was locked up with for sure at all times, like when I'm doing anything, you know. But everything was important for me, even like in prison. With I've been with this rap shit, like I've been with this rap shit, like, and it's a lot. In prison, rap is different. You know what I'm saying?
Wait. But even before that, though, what was when the feds kicked the door in? What was you know what I'm saying? Take me.
I was on the couch. I was on the front. I was laying on the couch. My aunt, I had just got off the phone. My aunt, she had told me that I hit on this board. I won this car. I remember putting my suite out. I remember looking at the highlights to the game. Before that, my homie Chet had like a Super Bowl party at his house. I remember all, I've thought about this shit for years, this same day over and over again. You know, I remember going around to his house. I was eating some wings and shit. I went to record. I was supposed to record a freestyle on Lil Wayne, Money on My Mind beat. I remember that. I remember going to the studio, shout out Kane. He was the one, you know, he loaded it up for me. I remember not rapping on it for whatever reason. And then I went home. Two people came to my door this night. This is very important right here. At my door, this person who shall remain nameless came to my door. A female. I served her. She left. Then it was this dude.
What you moving at this time?
Everything. Everything. My mentality to trapping was, I don't want you to have to leave here and go nowhere else. That was like I feel like I failed you if that happened. You know, if you got to leave here, if I got to make a call. So if I don't give a fuck, I got Reggie Bowes, Tabs, Soft and Hard, Ice, Pills, you know, Pharmacy Pills, Hydrocodone, Xanax, Somas, Lord Tabs. Just don't leave here and go somewhere else. Like, that's just was my...
And you, this all at the crib, not at the trap.
Oh, goddamn. I had another spot in Dallas. Though people say that I was shitting or eating where I shit or whatever, I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it as, this ain't like where I live. This is like my spot. And plus...
Ego, bro. It's ego and arrogance. No, you get money
I'm going to tell you really what it was. I, even to this day, I'm like this with my fans. My heart for my clientele, man, I love them. They would never do me wrong. It's niggas I have to worry about. Like, I always believed like that. Even to this day, I when it comes to fans, I treat my fans above and beyond. And I always treated my clientele above and beyond. That I don't want my fucking clientele having bad experiences. I want everybody saying, I'm burning Yankee candles in here. That wasn't even a thing. Like, I keep this shit immaculate. You coming over here fucking with me is the greatest thing that's gonna ever happen to you. This is gonna be the highlight of your day. You gonna come in here, I'm gonna serve you, we gonna have some conversation, we gonna dialogue. I know what's going on with you. You're not gonna turn me into no lie. This ain't even no law shit. That's how I felt. I felt like, man, this ain't no fucking police shit. This shit is fucking us fellowshipping and communing with one another. I always had a tremendous love for the game, and I dealt with it from a standpoint of love for the people, and the money comes. If the money comes out of that. What I choose to do with my money out of that shit is just what I choose to do with it. But it comes from love. I always hustle with love. I never hustle to hurt nobody. I never hustle to get nobody no shit that was gone. Fuck them up, you know what I'm saying? I always wanted to give people what they wanted that they couldn't get nowhere else, especially deliver it the way that I deliver it. Like, this shit run deep. This is why I try to tell people, like, when it come to, like, my upbringing in the game or like selling drugs or anything like that, my heart for that shit is, I was reared by quote unquote dope fiends or whatnot. So like I don't see them the way people see. I'm not turned off by them. Like, I'm not turned off by people that do drugs. Like, I just have to take care of them. That's the way I looked at it, you know? So I was very shocked that a motherfucker would kick my door in. What the fuck? But come to find out, it was just a bullshit ass nigga that, but everything is God's plan.
But you say, so a girl came through first, you served a girl. Stella.
Yeah. The dude, it was this guy. In the hopes that somebody can learn from this right here. The end thing is stay out of people's business. That's stay out of motherfuckers' business. But, you know, God is the divine Arthur. But I'm going to say this. It was this dude. It's cool to talk about this shit now. Like, I done paid all the dudes to say this shit. All of this shit. It ain't even. I done paid it all to say this. It was this guy that owed a partner of mine, right? He owed a partner of mine some bread. He been on him a long time. Me and his business dealings was good always. He never owed me no bread or nothing. So, me dealing with this dude, it was always all good. We had good, you know, whatever. Well, one day, I knew my partner been looking for this nigga and all that shit. And long story short, he had come by my crib one day. I served him. This prior to that shit. So, I served him. He left. My friend, a female that I was, my friend, she was there in my house, and she told me, like, ain't that the dude that Tom looking for, whatever? And I'm like, I felt guilty behind it, because I know he owned, and I know my partner's situation. I know, like, he, you know what I'm saying, I know this, you know, he needs this bread, you know? So I called my partner and tell him that he just left and all this shit. So, I get in the car with him. I grab my ratchet. I'm always fucked up with the gun, like always, you know. So I get with him, you know, and we go down to where this guy is. And, you know, my partner just want to put powers on him type shit. He tried to run. I just grabbed him, you know, pistol whip a little bit, toss him back to my guy. You know, my guy's big as fuck, you know. So, you know, not somebody you would want to have on your ass, you know. So, you know, he fucked over him. This dude.
And this is right the same day after he done left your spot.
It ain't even 10 minutes later, you know what I'm saying? I done got my bread, you know. How you feel about it? They feel like I'm wrong for that?
I mean, it is what it is.
What you think? Be the judge.
No, I think in the streets, that's just the way it goes. You know what I'm saying?
You owe my homie, not just a friend of mine. I'm talking about we rep the same thing. You can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. You for
I'm
him.
I'm feeling
he's
guilty.
He's bold for doing that and not expecting that, like, I would be, that would have been
my
mind.
Own business,
like,
dog. I should have come. That ain't none of my business.
Yeah, no,
you're
right.
Partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need to take care. You know, I supposed to, you know what I'm saying? That's the lesson. Mind your own business, you know what I'm saying? But I got in that, you know what I'm saying? So that's one of my things that I be doing, you know what I'm saying? Getting, you know, my homies and shit. But, you know, so that situation happened, right? One thing about
finna meet a demise or finna fuck up or whatever, you gonna start doing a bunch of shit that you've been doing, but all of a sudden now this shit dumb. You living your life every day, you could be riding. All of a sudden, though, you're gonna have like a succession of events. It's trying to tell you something. I was at that time for sure not giving a fuck about no signs. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, like, so bam, that shit happened and that shit really was over, really. You know, the laws had asked me about that shit at one point in time, but that, I really thought that shit was over. Then I end up getting into it with a partner of mine. I end up shooting a dude, you know what I'm saying? These is like days after this, like.
Or you just on the run or just.
Dumb shit. Yeah, I'm doing dumb shit. But I'm not even processing it as nothing dumb. Now am I, you know, damn, what? So what's done all happened? You done pistol whip somebody on this day. You done shot somebody on this day. You done got pulled over going. I come from getting my shit from somewhere. I'm coming down the highway, coming back home. The laws pulled me up. I got the yay in the trunk. I done got pulled over, but they don't find it. Yeah, I'm speeding. I'm speeding at 3 something in the morning on my way back to my. I got to get back to my spot. It's going down. You know what I mean? What I'm doing wrong? You. Of course, you know, so the laws done pulled me over. Man, give me my speeding ticket. Let me go. You know what I'm saying? No, you got an aggravated assault charge out of Gregg County. In my mind, I'm thinking it's the dude I shot. That nigga with these, is it that fool last week? That I- You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking it's this dude that I shot. But what happened was, bam, you know, you got the yay in the trunk. I got stopped in Canton, you know what I'm saying? So I got that charge or whatever. I burned out, had to call my plug to get me out, you know what I'm saying? He got me out, my dog, you know what I'm saying? Still to this day, my day one. But so now I'm out on bond. I'm still on parole. Yeah, from 10. And guess what? I'm never giving a fuck about the police. That's what I be trying to tell. I feel like that shit missing in the game. Niggas thug, but they don't want the consequence. I never gave a fuck about the consequence because I feel like, you know, we live in this here. That's the part of living in, you know?
Not giving a fuck in the sense of like, I ain't tripping or like, yeah, at some point it's probably going to happen. It's going to be what it is.
No, I'm saying like, no matter, my thinking was no matter what you do, you might don't go to jail. We just playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
You rolling the dice. You could just hit sevens and just keep winning. I'm not thinking that you could
crap out, yeah.
I mean, you might crap out, but if you do, so what? I didn't know people that really, you know, this. And my mentality was, why the fuck is you in the game if you worrying about the consequence? If you can't deal with the consequences of it, then why you in it? I never gave a fuck about the consequences of it. I never even thought about it. I never gave it no thought of like.
I might have to sit down for some serious time one day behind some of this shit, potentially.
If I do, I do. And if I don't, I don't. I never gave a damn about it. I feel like nowadays niggas don't want to do no time. But then they want to murder. They want to like. They doing the worst of the work. They don't want no money. They killing, you know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, come to find out, it was the same dude that I pistol whipped that day. He ended up coming back to my crib on that Super Bowl Sunday. You know what I'm saying? So,
this your first time seeing him since
that shit? Nah, I ain't seen him a couple times since. As a matter of fact, he came. I'm like, man, why you coming over? Man, don't come over here no more, man. Even though I love serving him. Now, but now I'm like, now I don't want to talk to you no more because I done something to you. You know what I'm saying? More, stay out of people's business, man. When people doing good business, you stay out of the motherfucking business. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he goddamn me. He came by. I didn't serve him. So on this night, February 5th, 2007, he came by. And he like, damn, Addy, what's up? Whatever. I'm like, man, I'm not fucking with you, man. Man, go on, you know, whatever. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and it's 10:30, 11 at night. Man, ain't nobody getting their dough kicked in like that, bro. You know what I mean? You know? So, he leave. I lay down. Like I said, I'm watching the the Super Bowl highlights, the game already over. And all I remember is the dough just going boom, and then it's smoke bomb and down, down, down. That's what they were saying. Down, down, down. I was laying on the couch, you know what I'm saying? Damn, you know what I'm saying? They rolled, you know, I got to roll like on the floor, you know what I'm saying? And I really thought about that they was going to kill me or whatever, but it's crazy how I felt relief. It's like a big wave of relief just washed over me. Like, damn, you know what I'm saying? I really was thinking like, shit, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought like it's shit over. So I was really like relieved, really. And so of course, like I go to, you know, now these bonds and these cases and all of this type of shit. Then what they find in my house at the time, which the warrant was for X pills and cocaine. But at the time, they find crack, hydrocodone, heroin, I had four controls. Oh, weed. If I said four, whatever four thing, my shit easy to go look up, you know, and they can look it up. Whatever they, you know, whatever they find some bread, like 12,000. What else? Oh, pistols, of course. You know what I'm saying? So felon in possession of firearm, controlled substance, aggravated assault, you know what I'm saying? And whatever else.
And all this a parole violation.
Oh yeah, the parole violation. So all of that shit together. I'm in there. Of course your parole is revoked, all that shit. You know, go to trial, get railroaded, you know, paying for lawyers. They running game. This shit's stupid. You know what I'm saying? It's all a bullshit game. You paying the lawyer. The lawyer works with the DA. They working in this building. You bringing your nigga ass in here with this money. You thinking that the law, this, you know, he's over there just bargaining with your life, trying to get you the less time, I guess, you know.
What they was telling you they was looking at?
Well, they told me 20 years total. First, they told, like, when I first, they tried to give me 10 years for organized crime. And then my uncle Larry, he had told me to take the 10. This lets you know my mind frame at the time. Like, take the 10, I got money.
Ego, yeah.
I like how you keep saying ego.
Because the truth about it, that's like some shit, like, you talk about development, character development. Mm-hmm. That's some shit I've been on serious, like, the last, like, year or two, bro. Like, really the last year, honing in on, like, ego and not even realizing how much that play a part, you know what I'm saying, in decisions we make.
Right.
And you don't even realize it. You just thinking, like, whatever, and it's like, nah, bro, it's ego, and, like, is it really necessary? You know what I'm saying?
Which go back, I didn't want to go to prison no more.
Yeah, yeah.
You might say, well, you doing all of that, what you doing? I got some money. I'm thinking, let me out. Like, just, this is state shit is how I'm looking at it. That's my mentality. Like, this is some state shit. Let me out. I don't want to take no 10 years. My uncle, and then the way we is, like, really as, like, a family. Like, my uncle, he like, boy, you better take that 10. I heard they trying to give you 10. Take that 10. But he's not saying it stiff and stern because, you know, I'm going to make my own decision. But he's just like, man, you ought to take that 10. I'm like, take 10? Fuck no. I'm not going to tell him fuck no, but I'm just like, you know.
I don't have to take the 10.
For sure. Like, man, like, I got, like, another 10 bands to put on this shit. You know what I'm saying? And so, of course, the lawyer is taking the money. Yeah, you know, let me see what I can do here. I'm going to give you another 10. This is the dumbness of me. I'm going to give you another 10. I want to get up out of here, you know, type shit, you know. And just some stupid shit. And at the end of the day, I end up going to a jury trial on the assault case. Remember, I'm still thinking that it's the fucking person I shot, right? But it wasn't him. So when it come to find out, it's this nigga, the nigga Andre Taylor, rat ass. Goddamn, he done goddamn me. But he was being used. You know, he was being used by these people. They just wanted to lock me up. Why am I in here for fucking aggravated assault for this guy? I'm like, man, I'm not on this particular case. Like, bro, I'm not even, you had an issue with somebody else, my guy, you know? I'm just really playing, but really it was all part of their plan to, like, if we just get him for that that gun and drugs and shit like that, none of that shit is no aggravated shit. You know what I'm saying? At the time, that shit wasn't, ain't none of that shit no aggravated shit. So we need to get this fucking aggravated assault on his ass to put his ass up for a minute. Because I'm in this white neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, really going ham, treating it like the project. I'm treating this neighborhood as if it's really like my real neighborhood, you know. So they just, they wasn't liking it. They wasn't liking my affiliation and shit, being from 300 Davis Street and all that shit. So it was about trying to send a message, you know what I mean, to them. So I ended up getting 20, 10, and 10 stacked. Meaning you got to do parole, you know, make parole on one. So that's what the fuck happened. They thought I would never get out. They thought I would never get out again, like for real, you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, it's a blessing, man. Like I did.
What was the toughest thing in there? You know,
in
what
prison?
I'm saying?
Yeah. What's the toughest thing in prison?
What's the toughest thing? Even if it's something that's like being away from family or whatever, or situations or just certain shit. You know what I'm saying? That whole experience. What was the toughest
thing?
It's
a lot of tough things about prison. I think the hardest thing about prison is not being in control of your own body, like not being in control of anything really having to do with you, like having very small space and having to try to have some self-respect and dignity in a place where it is designed to demasculinize you. It's designed to take your integrity and self-respect. It's designed to make you docile. It's to make you into an animal that can be tamed and be told what to do, you know? I take great pride in the fact that I didn't let prison break me. Like and really people that I deal with, you know, in that situation, we was able to remain like really still cool, even though whatever these people, and it's important to know I wasn't like no regular prisoner, you know, either. So I did what the fuck I wanted to do in prison, like really, you know. I had all of that shit, and it's well known and well documented. I fuck with hoes in jail. I you know, COs, I did all of that shit. I got phones.
Did that come from like, how did you, well, how were you able to establish that in there?
Establish is a good word. That's the word they use, establish a relationship. It's just, though we all look the same in jail, you know, if you on a certain frequency, man, you're going to get chose, you know what I'm saying? And it's not all, it's females choosing, and it's officers that just cut for how you move. And just, you know, prison is another world. I know you've heard that shit. That shit is real. Prison is a whole nother world. It's a different type of existence than out here, you know. So, you know, me being in that shit, like, for so long, you gotta, if you really think about it, I really grew up in prison. You know what I'm saying? So the way I move inside of there and, you know, it's some different shit, like all the way around, you know. Like, it's hard to think about because it's a lot of pain in there. The pain of losing loved ones out here and not being, the pain of not, definitely not being there for your seeds and shit like that. But one thing that you learn, if you're gonna really thrive in prison, you got to be able to convert all pain into useful energy, useful shit, you know. You know, like, it's like when Pop said, get your weight up with your hate, you know. Like, you got to be hard on yourself in different ways. And in the ways that you being hard on yourself, that shit is turning you into a monster. That's why people be getting out and they be monsters. Some people waste their time in that shit and they get out and get their ass smoked as soon as they get out. Or they get out and can't wait to go do some old dope or fuck theyself out. Fuck themselves over, but me, with that last trip, I just made my mind up that, man, I'm gonna be a fucking animal in this rap shit, and I'm finna take that shit over, and I'm not gonna take no for an answer in the same way that no matter how many gates around this bitch, I'm finna get a pound in this hoe. Hmm. I don't give a damn who all doing whatever. I'm finna turn this place up. I'm about to get. And see, I always thought that I thought that made me I felt like that in prison doing shit like that, I felt like that made me, I felt like it proved that I was that much of made for the game of selling drugs. That's what I thought. But, you know, as I started reading and developing my mind and shit, books like The Law of just finding out about The Law of Attraction, books like The Secret, like I tell you, I done read every book damn near that has something to do with the power of your mind and all of this type of shit.
You ever read The Alchemist?
Yeah. I don't think that you probably ain't going to be able to name a book that you done read. I'm the one that gives the books out. You know, like, you know, me and Jono, we, I ain't going to lie. I'm the motherfucker need to listen to me. When I tell you what books to read, read what I tell you. Alchemist is great. Anything by James Allen is great. Anything, of course, by Napoleon Hill is great. You know, I think people are real caught up into the 48 Laws of Power. But the best of the books by Robert Greene is Mastery.
That's why I say Mastery.
Mastery is something that niggas need to be reading instead of trying to learn how to manipulate somebody.
That's what I'm going to say. 48 Laws of Power, like, yeah, that stuff ain't, that don't really make you a good person.
It's a popular culture. The way I look at it.
A lot of people be on that, though.
It's a history book. It's the intention of niggas that make the 48 Laws of Power not a great book. It's a damn good book from a historical standpoint of learning how some of these rules was implemented in order to get certain outcomes and what type of shit to stay away from and to notice in the character of others. That's all great. But another, Baltazar Gracian, you up on him? Uh-huh. Baltazar Gracian, the Book of Worldly Wisdom, like this shit is like a very small book, probably the most powerful shit. Marcus Aurelius, of course, the maxims of Marcus Aurelius, like these. And as I just started making my, you know, imputing that kind of knowledge in myself, I just kind of felt like I was, because you knowing that you're going to go through the ups and downs of whatever you participating in, I just no longer wanted to be in what I was doing, because I understood that the downs of it, you know, if you're playing football, the downs of that, you might get CTE, you might, you know, tear your ACL or some shit as far as the downs go. The downs of being in the shit that I'm doing and the way that I do it, you know, I just wanted to, oh, and again, with learning about the power of my mind, I realized that I was, in the same way as I was radiating the energy and being able to create, you know, experiences inside a prison that a lot of people love that have been around me throughout these years, I can do this in rap. Like, I can be the biggest rapper. I don't like using the word manifest for this reason. It kind of removes God from the equation. Niggas be like, I manifested. You ain't did shit. You was a vessel. You opened your mind. That shit was allowed to come, you know, whatever. But I know I can do what I want to do if I keep it on my mind and stay focused. And I'm going to get the opportunities that help me that allow me to realize myself as whatever I want to. So it's just about keeping this shit on my mind and working toward it. And that's how I got right here to this couch right here. You know, and I trust that. I trust it, you know, and all of that. I pray, you know, everything. Just everything that I learned or that I went through, it made me into just really understanding that I could do anything. You know what I mean? So that's how I made it through prison all of those years, because there's not been a place that I was at that I wasn't turned up and that I didn't have everything piped up. You know what I'm saying? There's not been a place in prison. So I wasn't just in prison, just up against a wall somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really did my time the way I wanted to fucking do it. And it's well documented. And not only that, when it comes to the rap inside of there, like rapping, and you know, we used to have, like, you know, of course, like, I never really with the talent show shit, but as far as like Rick Yards and of course we had Talim services, Muslim services, I am Muslim, where people would come out and, like, you know, just the illest people would come out and be on this rap shit. And, like, and, you know, like, my mind frame is to be the best. I'm in this for being the best. I'm in it for greatness. I'm in it for being the best at this shit. And I'm in here for to write my name in this shit in the illest way. This is where I'm, you know, that's where I'm at with it. This is what I'm here to do. It's not just, it's not a hustle. It's not just, you know, a hustle. It is where my passion and all my love is. It's my favorite fucking thing to do in the world is rap.
Yeah, yeah, man. Well, shit, man. You got anything else before we get up out
of here? I will tell you this. My next album, David Street is the name of the album. It's going to have all your favorites on there as far as the features. It's executive produced by Lil Kiki, for sure. So this one, he's more hands-on in this project. This shit is gonna crush it's gonna shake everything up. It's that shit. Shout out Greg Street, shout out Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee did for sure the bulk of the production. For sure he did the bulk of all my production on the majority of my albums, for sure. He's the sound bed, the sound architect to the shit that I do, but we done took it up a whole nother notch. Shout out Buddha Blessed This Beat from ATL. Greg Street linked us. He done contributed 2 bangers, and y'all gonna be surprised at the features, for sure. The features gonna blow your mind. You gonna be like, damn, you know what I'm saying? So sometime in April it's gonna drop, and that shit it's gonna be what it is, you know what I mean? So look forward to that David Street album in April, the first or the second week of April. And I look forward to that. Of course, Lil Kiki project out right now, Legend. I'm on that no cap going crazy. And, just beautiful. I can't say nothing else. Beautiful, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is, man. I appreciate you coming through, man.
And yeah, appreciate man. You, homie.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, this is Down Houston Podcast, man. LD300. Hey. Hey, man, we out of here.
Down Houston.
Subscribe to the Danny Houston Podcast, man.